In the year 1812, there was the great onward march of Napoleon into Russia. But disaster was to strike, so that he had to retreat. One of his dukes, whom he was close to, accounts of how the soldiers of the guard were to be overcome by the cold. And they were to fall out of the ranks, and they were to lay prostrate on the snow. Once they fell asleep, they were dead. And he related of how on numerous occasions he tried to arouse the men who had fallen to the ground, and he warned them of their danger of perishing. But their drowsiness was irresistible, and they begged him to leave them alone and to sleep. But to sleep was to die. And men and women, that illustration serves well to bring before you the text of Scripture that I want to leave with you this evening. It was the Apostle Paul who was writing to the church of Ephesus. It's a letter which is full of teaching, not only of doctrinal teaching, but also of practical teaching as well. First three chapters are doctrinal, and you'll notice from the start of chapter 4 that he then proceeds into the practical end of applying that doctrine in practice. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And you see that word walk, you now know, you understand that he's seeking to apply the doctrines. It is like any of other epistles where Paul has a doctrinal part to them as well as the practical. But the words of my text are those which I must confess I believe are directly, primarily directed to the people of God. There were those in this church and they were found to be sleeping. And I don't mean by that they were dropping off in the middle of the sermon. There are some who are prone to do that. It's wonderful what a preacher can see from up here in the pulpit. But alas, we know, we take comfort in the fact that if it happened when the Apostle Paul was preaching, then it can happen to any preacher. You see, the Apostle, he preached one evening, and he preached to midnight. You people are fortunate. I usually stop a few hours before midnight. But he preached to midnight, and a young man by the name of Eutychus, he was sitting in the windowsill, and he went to sleep, and he fell out of it. And he fell down those three stories, even to the ground. But here Paul's not talking about the physical sleeper. But here Paul was referring to those believers who had fallen asleep in the work of the Lord. They needed to be awakened. And how the child of God needs to hear even these words to our hearts, even tonight. We similarly could use those words found in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." There it is applying the same thought to the believers in the epistle of Romans. But I want to take you to the words of verse 14 of our chapter. And I want to address them to the unsaved tonight in particular. For if there is cause for the believer to be aroused, then there is double cause for you to be aroused from the state in which you're in tonight. I trust that the Holy Spirit will so burn these words of my text upon your heart that you will obey the message of the gospel and you will flee and you'll run to Christ. What are the words? Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I want you to see, first of all, there, the condition illustrated. In looking at these words, it is clear that the condition of natural man is explained clearly. The verse speaks of those who are asleep. And when we think of asleep, then we're thinking of something which is a perfect analogy. It is the perfect description of those who are out in this world without Christ and who are without hope tonight. They perfectly describe, in other words, those who sit in a meeting like this, still unsaved, still without Christ. You see, when you think of the state of sleep, it is a condition where there is an unconsciousness. Now, of course, there are those who are light sleepers. I'm not among them. And it seems that they never switch off. There is, of course, the motherly instinct resident in a mother who will hear the movings of her child even though she's asleep in the evening, in the night season, and she will hear that moving of the child and she'll get up. I better say that's my excuse for not getting up in the middle of the night when my children were wee, but we'll suppose we'll not go down that road. There is the motherly instinct. But when we lay our head down and when we close our eyes and sleep, there is an unconsciousness to that which is going on around us. We're not alert. And because of that, the physical body is able to relax and is able to gain that which is needed for another day's work. Because of the unconscious state, the heart rate, for example, will drop away down. And there are times when in a deep sleep, where the heart is so low, it's pumping, it's going at so slow a rate that one would think a person has stopped breathing altogether. Such is the slowness. The condition of sleep is moreover one which means we are unaware of any danger which may be around us. It is often in the midst of the night that the robber and the thief will do his work. It is when people are asleep that most of the rascality and the wickedness takes place. For it is when we sleep that we're unaware of any danger or activity that is around us. And when we sleep, we are in a state of not being prepared. This was something which the Savior was to use as an illustration when He spoke of His coming again. If you turn over to Matthew's Gospel 24, Matthew chapter 24, in the words of verse 23, it says this: "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And the exhortation there, in the analogy of the thief coming in the middle of the night, and the suddenness of the thief, and the picture there is that Christ will come suddenly, and we are to be ready. You are to be ready, and to be ready, for no man knoweth what the day is, nor the hour. But the person who sleeps, he's not ready for anything. The soldier who sleeps on the front line, he's not prepared for the battle. And therefore you can see that those things we associate with sleep are very relevant and poignant for those who sleep in their sin. The unsaved are not conscious to the need of their soul. There is no real alertness to the condition that they're in tonight. Isn't it strange how many can come into the meetings, how many can hear the truths of the gospel, and they may feel even the sharpness of the word of the sword of the Spirit, and they know of their need of repentance and of faith, and they see for themselves the great gulf that is fixed between people in the great eternity, and yet for all that, their will and their conscience is still asleep. They can leave such meetings undisturbed. You see, that is the natural state of man. He's asleep in his sin. The sinner is not aware to the dangerous condition that they find themselves in tonight. It could be that there's one in this meeting, and those words of David, it could be true of you, where he said, "There is but a step between me and death." Just another step. And it will be a lost eternity for your soul. But like the one who sleeps, you're not aware of that. And it goes without saying that you're not prepared. You're not prepared for death. You're not prepared for the great eternity it is to come. You're like the five unwise virgins who were unprepared for the coming again of the bridegroom. And you're sleeping away your opportunity in the gospel. I trust that you understand that the picture of the sinner as reflected in these words is one who sleeps. Indeed, we could go further than that. We could say in the words of my text that you are one that is dead. The thought has already been brought out by the apostle in an earlier chapter in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, where he is describing the people of God before they were converted, before they were saved. He says in the opening verse, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Because of sin, you are spiritually dead. Because of the fall in the garden, you have no spiritual life within you. Adam lost that eternal life. Adam lost that spiritual life when he took of the fruit. And when he sinned against God and when he disobeyed God's word. And each of us have been born with Adam's sinful nature. That is the condition of each one born into this world. That is your condition this evening if you're in this meeting or under the sound of my voice. And still you have not Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Not only are you asleep, but you're dead in your sin. Like Jonah in the bottom of the boat, you're unaware of the storm that is arising. You're unaware of the waves of God's wrath against sin, which are in danger of sweeping your soul into a lost eternity. And like the shipmaster on that boat, I have come in the mercy of God to awaken you out of your sleep of death by preaching to you the glorious gospel of saving grace. You see, I would that you tonight, dear soul, would recognize the condition that your sin finds you in this evening. And that tonight it would be said of one in this meeting that they have passed from death unto life. That is the condition that's illustrated here in the words of my text. You're one who's asleep to the danger. You're one who's dead in your sin. If you haven't got Christ. Let me show you secondly here the call that is issued. There are those times in God's Word where we find the Savior standing outside the door. The church of Laodicea in the book of the Revelation is maybe the saddest of them all. For they believed that they had everything. But yet the Lord was to instruct them that they were wretched and that they were poor. And worst of all, they were a church who had the Lord on the outside. The Lord is pictured in Revelation 3:20 as standing at that door and knocking and seeking admittance. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's a sad church for the Lord's outside. The same is also pictured if you turn to the book of the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. In the chapter 5, in the words of verse 2, it says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my hair is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And then you'll have the rest of the verses there where there is the reasonings and the excuses of the girl. Oh, the girl hears the call of her shepherd. He's standing on the outside of the door. And yet she comes with her excuses as to why she doesn't get up and as to why immediately she doesn't open the door to him. She says in verse 3, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. My dear friend, the same picture is there. And I would ask you tonight, I wonder how many times have you heard the Savior calling in the gospel to your soul? You see, it was the hand of her beloved that moved her. He put his hand in by the hole of the door. And then in verse 5 it says, I rose up to open to my beloved. How many times have you been brought before the Lord Jesus Christ? And as by faith you could see that nail-pierced hand. Nailed to the cross for a sinner like you. And yet you have, in the general call of the gospel, you have made excuse after excuse. When we reflect upon the words of our text, again we find the Lord standing, as it were, on the outside of the door. And this call is one to that of which it is to awaken you. Here is the spiritual wake-up call. And understand that it is a call which is personal. Look at the words, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Paul is relating a message here which has come to him from the Lord. It is the Lord who is calling to these people. It is the Lord who is calling to your heart personally tonight in the gospel. It is the Lord who comes alongside in the person of the Holy Spirit to awaken your soul. And you'll notice that it is not a collective call. He doesn't say there, awake all of you. Nobody comes personally knowing those that are His, and He says, awake thou. That's Levis. That's individual. That's personal. I wonder, have you heard the call of the Savior in salvation to your soul? I want to tell you that it is a call which is loving, and it's a call which is tender. It does not come with tones of harshness, but tenderly He desires that you would awaken from the sleep of death so that you would embrace eternal life. It was the love of God for the sinner that caused the Savior to go all the way to the cross of Calvary. You know, the hymn writer got it right when he penned those words, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." The love of Christ is perfect. He loved you so much that He was willing to die for us on the cross. And it's in that love that He comes and He calls to the sinner's heart, "Awake thou that sleepest." It's a call which is meant to arouse you. "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." And the call is for now. It is not something which ought to be closed out. The time to awake from your sin, the time to seek about the need of your soul. Listen, it's now. When the Spirit of God is striving, when the Spirit of God is seeking to bring you to Christ, that's the time when it is imperative for you to act. The new birth, or the work of regeneration, as it is otherwise called, is offered to you now in the gospel. The Word of God says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time." Have you not been long enough under that deep sleep of the devil? Is it not time that you awaken to your state of sin? And by God's grace, respond to the call of the Savior, and tonight come to Him and be saved. Is it not time? You see, I want you to understand that even though your condition is one of being asleep to your danger and dead in your sin, yet the Savior calls in mercy. The call is issued to your heart tonight in the gospel. Let me show you finally here the promise assured for those who are hearing that effectual call of God in the gospel. For you who are troubled of soul by the probings of God's Spirit and realize that to sleep on and sin means eternal death, then there is a promise here which is offered to your heart in the words of the verse. It says, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." When you think of the Apostle Paul, his commission from the day that Christ saved him on the road to Damascus was to open the eyes of the Gentiles. And it was to turn them from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, he couldn't himself do that, but God speaking and working through him was to see many Gentiles won for the Savior. The Scriptures make it clear that the sinner, they who are outside of Christ, are in darkness. We read in John 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We read in the epistles that the devil has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. The sinner is in darkness. But the promise here is that the sinner who will answer the call of the Lord in salvation, then they will be brought into the light. Christ will bring them out of that darkness of their sin. And you know, when the Lord saves a soul, He does it in an instant of time. A child is born in an instant of time, and so it is in the spiritual birth. And having saved your soul and brought you out of that darkness which you have known ever since you opened your eyes on this earth, and then the Lord has promised to give you light for the pathway. He doesn't just save you and then let you go on your own. Remember the nation of Israel? Remember, as they started their journey, even out of the house of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, we read of how the Lord was to go before them in a very special way. We read in Exodus chapter 13 and the words of verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light." To go by day and night. He gave them light even in the night season. He went before them by the pillar of cloud and by the pillar of fire to give them light. And it is the Lord who will give you the light of instruction. For understand that as a child it must crawl before it works, before it walks. So it is with the people of God. And a new convert will know the light of instruction guiding and teaching them how to live the Christian life, how to walk the Christian pathway. What comfort are those words that we find in Psalm 32 and verse 8? Where the Lord says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." There are those who have been fearful of getting saved in case they make a mess of things. "Oh, preacher, I'd love to get saved. I'd love to get converted. But I don't know how I'd live for God. I wouldn't want to be a bad testimony. I'd only make a mess of things." Listen, dear soul, tonight, if that's the lie of the devil that's holding you back, then, listen, my friend, the Lord who saves is also the one who guides. He is also the one who keeps. How does He guide? We read in the words of Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He guides by the word of God. As we're saying this morning, it is God's word which is our final rule of authority. It is our only sole rule of faith and practice. Child of God, once the Lord saves you, He'll teach you by His Spirit. He'll instruct you in the things of the word and how you can walk for God. The promise is that being awakened to the call of God's salvation, then you will know the guidance. And you'll know the person who said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That alone is Christ. Think of it. What an exchange you could have tonight if you were to be awakened from your sin by the call of the Lord in salvation, instead of having the devil as your master, instead of him duping you down into a lost eternity. Oh, you could have the company of the Master tonight. You could have the company of the blessed Savior. You will have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you, to help you, to befriend you, to strengthen you. And when times are toughest, to carry you until that day when He shall safely bring you across onto that eternal shore, ever to be in His presence. And then, my dear soul, you will find that the words of Revelation, if you turn to there, in the 20 verse chapter, in the verse 23, you'll know when you reach glory, these words are very true. It speaks of heaven. And it says there, "And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The Lord who can bring you out of darkness of your sin tonight into the glorious light of eternal life, the glorious light of the gospel. The Lord who promises not only to save you but to guide you in the light. He'll bring you through death. He'll bring you to that place where He is the light. The Lamb is the light thereof. I tell you, there's surely no comparison with what you have without Him tonight. Aye, and that is one of the very reasons why the Savior left the glories of heaven. He left heaven and He came down to be born of a virgin, and to walk amongst men. As we read it in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, what to do? It was to give light to them that sit in darkness. and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. I wonder tonight, will you not respond to this call in the gospel? Will you not embrace the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work upon Calvary's cross? Will you not tonight know what it is to be saved, to be brought out of darkness of your sinful nature? Will you not come to the Lord tonight? The Lord who is calling, the Lord who is ready, the Lord who is willing to pardon you from sin and to save you for time and for eternity. You tonight can have peace with God. You tonight can go home saying the words of Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Aye. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear sinner, as the Savior is calling, will you not respond to that call? While God's Spirit is striving with you, then do not turn Him away. But come tonight and be saved. God help you to do so. God help you to have new life this evening in Christ. Remember my text. The call of the Master is, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. May that be your experience tonight, for His glory's sake. Amen.